Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We started a study about sicknesses and disease and demons and so forth. I wanted to have a conversation concerning these particular parts of our belief system that we've heard in the church for many years, but no one has really go into it. And last podcast, what I did was I focused briefly on evil spirits. Where did they come from, and demons? And so I want to continue that conversation because I've gotten some feedback from many people that stated that to elaborate some more about it, because it's something that they want to know who our enemies are and how to combat them, because the Bible tells us how to do that, because in Jesus Christ, when he came in his life, death, and resurrection, he restored back to us the authority and all of who Adam was before the fall. And so God is trying to bring us back to our original state through Jesus Christ. We lost that state through Adam. And the Bible tells us Adam came sin and destruction, and through Jesus Christ comes this, and, you know, give life and resurrection. So and the Bible calls Jesus Christ the last Adam, meaning that he was tempted just like Adam. Adam was tempted and he failed. Jesus was tempted and he was victorious, because you remember he was taken into the desert and he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And Jesus came out of that desert victorious. Once he began his ministry, then he began to pronounce his authority, what he gained from the from being in the desert. That's where Adam lost his authority. But when Jesus gained his authority in that desert after the tempting, he came out and he went to the Word of God and he found his assignment. And I've been saying to you guys, every one of us have an assignment here on the earth, including Jesus. Even the Holy Spirit has an assignment, and it's up to you and I to find out what our assignments are so that we can begin this journey that we have on this planet. But knowing our enemy, is one part. Once you learn about who your enemy is and learn about how to his personality, his ways of attacking, his ways of thinking, then one can rise up and become victorious. And we see this through Jesus Christ, because he now is the representation as to how to do that. And he walked in his fullness, his full authority, as Adam was supposed to walk in. You and I have the same ability to walk in as Jesus. You may not think so, but the Bible tells us different. And the Bible tells us that God's goal is to have you and I to walk in that same authority, walk in that same power as Jesus Christ. But what is our weakness? The Bible says, Jesus said to his disciples, when they came to the fig tree, when he had spoken to the fig tree, and he says, you're not, because you have no fruit at this time, and you're going to dry up from the roots. And when they saw that authority, Jesus said, you can do the very same thing, but you have to have faith in God. And because he said, if you have faith in God, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it will do it. So you and I, our weakness is that we don't have faith in God. And I've spent a lot of times at this channel to educate who we are, as well as who the enemy is, so that we could study and get some insight as to who he is, so that we can deal with him when he comes. And so we've been focusing on this aspect, right, of sicknesses, diseases, demons, and so forth, and we stop that evil spirit. So let's continue, because I want to go in a little deeper, and we'll do some backtracking. We know that according to the Bible, we saw the mention of these entities in Genesis chapter 6, when it tells us that chapter 6, verse 1, I'll read that all the way through. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and that they too, and they took them wives of all which they choose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And we discuss what that meant. Verses 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and that is in reference to Azazel. And we're gonna, last week we touched a little about Azazel, that he was the first one that came in to and he was doing experiments and so forth. And it says, and also after that, and also after that is when those 200 came, the additional 200 came on Mount Hebron, and they began to do the same thing. And when the sons of God came into the daughter of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Those are some powerful information that was given there. And Jesus made mention to the thoughts of men. From out of the heart comes evil thoughts and evil. That's where we commit our sin. The body is the venue by which we carry it out, we express it. But the sin and the evilness of mankind is in his heart. And so, and that is through his thoughts. He thinks, his thought field is continually evil. There's no good in that thought field. That's the corrupt man. But the Bible says, even tells us in the scriptures, that we ought to be thinking on these things. And those things, that is what he's trying to do, so that you and I will learn how to renew our mind. And the thought, renew our mind means to renew our thoughts field, our thought fields, with not corrupt thoughts, but thoughts of good, thoughts of good tithing, thought, anything that has blessing and all that stuff. We are called to repopulate that field, that thought field, with thoughts from heaven versus evil thoughts, because it tells us that the thoughts of his heart. So the thoughts that you're trying to do, as you reprogram your thoughts, you are reprogramming your heart. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the man's heart, he will speak. And that is when you know that whatever he or she is saying is the truth to that individual. Believe them. They mean exactly what they say, because that is who they are. So let's take a look, a quick look at the book of Enoch, which we started, and do a quick recap. And we're going to start in chapter 6. And it says, and it came to pass when the children of men had multiplied, does this sound familiar? That in those days were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters, and the angels, the children of heaven, saw and lusted after them, and said to one another, come, let us choose us wives from amongst the children of men, and begot children. And Shemyazah, who was their leader, this is now the testimony of the 200. Shemyazah, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear you will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin. And they shall answer him and said, and they all answer him and said, sorry, let us all swear an oath and bind ourselves by mutual respect, not by abandon this plan. So they're saying, let's bind ourselves together, and we're not going to abandon this plan. But to do this thing, They said, let's go ahead and get this done. Let's do this. They swear that all together and bound themselves by mutual imperfection upon them. And they were all in 200 who descended in those days on Jared, or the summit of Hebron. So we know it's really funny, this place of the mountains, how God speaks to Moses on a mountain, Mount Sinai. And the mountain represents, if you will, spirituality. And we see that these 200 are doing the same thing, trying to get there. Now, these 200 and Azazel, these are the Anunnakis, if you will. You've heard people talk about them. The angels, the watchers, they were there. And these guys descended. These 200 is 201 dealing with Azazel. And so these guys were ruling the earth at the time. And one of the agreements that they had done, they agreed, was that they would get 200 of each animal, every creature on this planet. They would get 200 of those creatures, everything that has been placed here, and they're going to now begin to do these experiments and come up with some really strange things. So now we know that when they got here, they took wives and they began to do some things other than getting these women pregnant. They began to teach them a few things. Azazel taught men to make swords. Before that, there was no such things. Knives, shields, breastplates. So he's dealing with those are weapons of warfare, if you will. A sword, knives, shield, and breastplate. And made known to them the metal of the earth and art of working them. So blacksmith, stuff like that. And bracelet, ornaments, and use of different types of things to beautify the self and so forth. So we know that these guys, until then, man was living a simple life. He taught women how to beautify themselves, all kinds of costly stones, coloring of tenture, all of these things he began to do. The mirror was another thing that he had shown men. And it says, and these arose much godlessness. And they committed fornication, and they were led astray and become corrupt in all their ways. So, you see, that's Azazel. Shemyaza taught enchantment, root cutting, all of these other stuff that these guys, astrology, constellation, these different angels that decided to vacate the earth, their positions, they began to educate mankind on things that he needed to know. And I don't believe God's intention was to keep that from us, but I believe he was supposed to be coming and giving us that information in spurts, because we see that when we have an influx of all this information, how crazy man gets. And we see that the knowledge of clouds and reading all these signs of the earth and all these things, husbandry, all of these things, these angels, signs of the suns, the course of the moon. And as men perish, they cried, and their cry went up to heaven. So you see that state of the ruling of the Anunnakis at that time. It says, as men perish, they cried. So there is a real type of brutality of man, because also they're experimenting with men as well, men and women. And I believe that we have come and seen some of those type of experiments bear fruit. But again, you know, the church will not talk about things like that. But of course they're going to bear fruit. They do that in today's world. So why would they not do the same in the past? And so the Bible tells us that in the last days, that this type of system is going to come back. That mankind is going to be doing all of these things. And so we see then, as this information is being given to them, all of this information that has been passed to them, we see that man begins to fall apart, and that he is not able to handle all of that information. So now chapter 9 basically tells us a couple of things that begin to happen. We see that In the council, we see then that Michael, Uriel, Raphael, Gabriel look down on the earth. And now in chapter 9, the cries of man begins to reach the heaven, as he said. And as it gets there, they begin to talk to God about some of the things that are going down. And then they brought that to God's attention. And then we see in chapter 10, and let's take a read of chapter 10. And then said the Most High, the Holy One, Great One, spake and said unto Uriel, the son of Lamech, and said unto him, go to Noah and teach him in my name, hide thyself, and reveal to him the end that is approaching, that the whole world will be destroyed by a deluge is about to come, and upon the whole earth, and will destroy all that is on it. And now instruct him that he may escape, as he see may be preserved for all generations of the world. And again, the Lord said to Raphael. Now, he is going to now begin to explain what are some of those judgments that are going to be coming against the Anunnakis. At this was their reign, they were there, and God begins to pronounce judgment on them for what they had done and what they were doing. Now, some of those stuff that these men had taught them, they were able to build incredible statues and stuff like that, and their kids were able to continue some of that information. And so we're watching a lot of these systems up there today, our buildings and discoveries, and we, you know, people are trying to figure out where it came from. This is where they came from. They had angels down here doing stuff, guys. And so Raphael's assignment God had given to one, Uriel, he had his assignment to deal with Noah. And then Raphael's assignment was bind Azazel hand and feet and cast him into the darkness and make an opening in the desert, which is in Durio, and cast him therein and place upon him rough and jagged rocks. He's here located on the earth under this judgment. So he was buried. He was placed on the jagged rocks and covered with darkness, and let him abide there forever and cover his face that he may not see light. So this is his punishment that he is experiencing right now in his life. Okay? And so that he's there. It says, and on that day, the great judgment, he shall be cast into fire. So he's waiting there for that day of judgment, and heal the earth, which the angels had corrupted and proclaimed. So these guys are there. And so this earth is corrupted based on what they had done to mankind. And proclaim the healing of the earth, that they may heal the plague, and all the children of men may not perish throughout all the the earth. And so stuff is going to happen, as I said, that will that it hasn't happened yet, but the watchers has taught us, the Bible tells us in the book of Eden, has taught us many things, and those things that cause us to destroy ourselves. So now the watchers also have taught them their sons a great deal of information as well while they are there here on this earth. And so we're going to continue to read and see what it says. So Azazel is being punished. He is put aside. And it says, on that day of great judgment, so he's put aside for the judgment. And it tells us that Azazel, it ends in that verse, it says, that, and the whole earth has been corrupted through works that were taught by Azazel. To him ascribe all sin. And Gabriel's assignment, as I told you guys, everyone has an assignment. Jesus had one. And Gabriel said, and to Gabriel said the Lord. So this is his assignment. Proceed against the bastards and the reprobates and against the children of fornication, and destroy the children of fornication and the children of the watchers from amongst men, and cause them to go forth. Send them one against another, that they may destroy each other in battle. Now, as I mentioned to you before, we call this, or the Greek call this, the Clash of the Titans, where these giant beings were fighting each other. Zeus and all these guys, when you read the chronology of mankind, these are regular men that they deify later. Zeus has a grave somewhere in Europe that you can go and visit. Hercules was real. Hercules actually married one of Abraham's granddaughters. So these guys exist back in the day, as they say, within, and they were hybrids from, you know, angels and man. And whether it was through the reconstruction of through the formulas that they had given them to do that, and I believe that was that, not the first one. The first incursion had all of the giants, and then all the other ones after the flood were nothing compared to their size as it was back to then. And so it says that Gabriel's assignment was to cause this battle, this fight, that there would be a civil war amongst the children, the Nephilims, the first batch, if you will. For the length of days shall they not have, and no request that their fathers, the watchers, make of these shall be granted unto the fathers on their behalf. For they hope to live an eternal life, and that each one of them will live 500 years. So God had given them 500 years. At the end of that 500 years, while they were here on this planet, there was that civil war that began to take place, and they began to destroy each other and die off. And the Lord said unto Michael, Michael's assignment, go bind Shemyaza and his associates who had united themselves. So Michael himself was able to handle Shemyaza and all of his other people that was given to that. So that is 200 angels that Michael was able to handle. Uriel, was his assignment was to go to Lamech, go to Noah, talk to him. And you saw that these guys are all having Raphael. He handled Azazel. So these guys, the devil's people, are not as bad as you think they are. You know, we have angels that are on our side that is more than enough to handle anything that the enemy has to bring in our forefront. And it was you know, Michael the archangel was the one that dispatched and his crew. It was the one that handled Lucifer and his guys to kick them out of heaven. So Lucifer was beaten by Michael. Jesus don't need to beat him. God, I hate it when people put them in the same place, and as if the devil is equal to God. You gotta be kidding me. The Bible says he has to come before God as any one of these angels, and he's a created creature, and he lost his beauty, and the Bible tells us how beautiful he was, and then it tells us his form changed after he rebelled against God. But he is not any bad boy that we can't handle, because we have Michael on our side that was able to handle him. Michael and his crew, if you will, because each one of them have their crew, because the Bible tells us that Lucifer was over a third of the angels, you know. So he was able to convince them. And so I believe that he is weak, and that he has no power over a Christian unless the power that we have given it to him. And so the Bible tells us that these guys are bound. Enoch went to see them, and he was taken, and he began to see them, and they were trembling and scared as ever. We saw that as a result also, as they go getting to all their things, we saw in 12, which I told you guys, it tells us that that's where Enoch comes, and he told the judgment. He pronounced the judgment on the 200. He came to Azazel first. He says, "Hey, you are not going to get yours." The 200. Then he went to the 200 and he spoke to them all, and he brought the news to them, and he said, "You are going to be punished." And we see that in chapter 15, when I talked to you guys, we saw that the Nephilim, as they begin to die out, that they will be called evil spirits, and because they are here on this earth. And they make a declaration that I want to show you, where the original state, we know that sickness and disease and all those things entered into the state of the fallen man. But I want to see and show you what some of these assignments now that the evil spirits have towards mankind. And let's read that, chapter 15, 11. And the spirits of the giants afflicted, oppressed, destroyed, attack, do battle, and work destruction on the earth, and cause trouble. So it's not just against us, but they are working destructions on the earth, and they're going to cause trouble. They take no food, but nevertheless hunger and thirst, and causes offenses. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against their women, because they have proceeded from them. So these spirits that we see Jesus Christ dealing with in his ministry at his time is from way back then. And they recognize who he was. Why? They recognize him after he passed the test with in the desert, and they knew that he now is going to be the last Adam, basically. They knew who he was, and they said to him, you came here, the bunch that went into the swine, did you come to judge us now? And he said, no, there's an appointed time for that. And they said, look, send us in the pigs. Why? Because they are still seeking a body. They are disembodied spirits, and they are seeking spirits that are hunting. They're hungry, not for food, but they're hungry and thirsting to get into one of your bodies. And your lifestyle, your decisions, your lifestyle will give them, based on your lifestyle, you are going to give them permission to come in and begin to use you as, a servant to get their desired assignment completed. What are their assignment? To oppress, to destroy, to attack, to do battle, and to work destruction on the earth, and to cause trouble. And that's what they will do until they die. So now chapter 16, and I'm going to take you there. From the days of the slaughter and the destruction of the death of the giants, from the souls of whose flesh the spirits have gone forth, and shall destroy without incurring judgment. Thus shall they destroy until the day of consummation, the great judgment in which the all age shall consummate. So there's a time of judgment. We call that in Christendom the white throne judgment. Over the watchers, the godless, yea, shall be wholly consummated. And now, as to the watchers who have sent these to intercede for them, send you to intercede, who shall be beforehand in heaven, say to them, you have been in heaven, but all the mysteries had not yet been revealed to you, and you knew worthless ones. And these is the hardness, these in the hardness of your hearts, you have made known to the women, and through mysteries of women and men work evil on the earth. Say to them, therefore, you shall have no peace. So all the wisdom that they brought to you and I, God, look at that as you have been the deep mystery. All the mysteries was not revealed to you, but the mysteries that you brought to mankind that was revealed to you are worthless ones. And so we're looking at things that are worthless in the sense of how we are behaving and what we look like before God. And as when we look at all of the science that we have made and all this progression we have made, and we've made that with the worthless mysteries, imagine if we had the good stuff. Chapter 19, and Uriel said to me, Here shall stand the angels who have connected themselves with women, and their spirits, assuming many different forms, are defiling mankind and shall lead them astray into sacrificing to demons as gods. So we're getting more insights to see these evil spirits. They are defiling mankind and shall lead mankind astray into sacrificing. What does some of that look like? One is sacrificing to demons as God. Here shall they stand till the day of judgment, in which they shall be judged, that they may at an end. And the women who also, now watch this thing about the women, and the women also of the angels who went astray shall become sirens. And I, Enoch, long saw the vision, and the end of all things, and no man shall see as I have seen. And he began to write out a bunch of stuff. I want to give you guys some additional information of some of the assignments. As I said to you guys, everyone has an assignment. You may not think so, but you have an assignment, and I do. And it's up to us to find it. And we have to go to the Holy Spirit and have him open that to us. And then I'm going to read this in Enoch, and then we are going to go to the Book of Jubilees and some other sources, and I'll show you a couple of things. And then we'll call it a day. 19 says that we talked about what the women becoming the sirens. We talked about all of that. Here, this is chapter 20. And these are some of the assignments of what these angels do. And I'm not going to go into all of them. The Book of Enoch has tons of angels and their assignments. They have hundreds of them that you can read. And these are the names of the holy angels who watch. Uriel, one of the holy angels who is over the whole earth, the whole world, and over Tarsus. Raphael, one of the holy angels who is over the spirits of men. Raoul, one of the holy angels who takes vengeance on the world of the luminaries. That's the stuff in the sky. When you look at the Book of Enoch, it goes into this because the angels took him to that. And there were some of the luminaries, the stars and all those different things, that rebelled. And they are placed in a particular area. They didn't want to do their assignment. And they're placed in a particular area for judgment. Isn't that something else? And so he is angels. He's an angel over those, and vengeance on the world of the luminaries. So he's dealing with those guys. Michael, one of the holy angels, to wit, he that is set over the best part of mankind and over chaos. He watches over Sacriel, one of the holy angels who is set over the spirits who sin in the spirit. Gabriel, one of the holy angels who is over paradise and the serpent, and then the cherubims. Ramiel, one of the holy angels who God set over those who rise. And these are just some of the angels mentioned within the book of Enoch that I'm reading to you guys. And so I want you guys to get a copy of that book. Ken Johnson, as I said, he has some really good stuff. He and his team, they have taken the Book of Enoch and they are putting it in a format by which you can digest, and you get some really in-depth information from there. So now let's take a book, the Book of Jubilees. And I had mentioned this on the first part of the teaching, and I talked about it, but I want to go in again and I wanted to show you the assignment that these guys had, okay? And what they are doing and what it looks like when these assignment begins to happen. We're going to end it looking at the other source, which is called The Legend of the Jews, and we'll pull some stuff out of there as well. So let's take a look at this. And again, it was mentioned in the first part of this study, and this is the third part of the study, and then we're going to continue and look at other aspects of this study that I'm working on. And in the third week of this Jubilee, the unclean demons began to lead astray the children of the sons of Noah. Now, I think, I'm not sure if I mentioned it here, but I'll mention it again about the Jubilees. The Jubilees is broken up into 50 years. A Jubilee is 50 years, and the Book of Jubilees is broken up into that part. And according to the calendar that we are following, 2025, that is next year, is the beginning of the last Jubilee of the end of the age of grace, where the Bible tells us that Jesus came and he introduced and instituted the age of grace. When the age of grace instituted, it was about, turned out to be about 2,000 years that age of grace is. And so the last Jubilee is 2025, and that will take us to 2075 is when the end of the age happens. Remember, the disciple says to him, Jesus, when is the end of the age take place? And he says, I don't know, but I can tell you. He says, I don't even know that. The only person who knows that is the Father. And I don't know, but I can tell you what the season is and the times and stuff like that. And he began to explain to his disciples, and he told them. So the end of the age means that, and we have a glimpse of that in the book of Revelations, where it culminates in Armageddon, the Valley of Armageddon, as we call it, you know. So that battle of Armageddon, and the whole world is going to come against Israel. Israel is the key, guys. Remember, the Bible says that that's his people. And he picked a people to kind of show us, to teach us. The picking of the children of Israel it's a physical representation of a spiritual thing. God is picking a people to work with and to create his people. And so he chose this man, Abraham, and the seed of Abraham and all that stuff. And he had to bring a Messiah through that seed in order to combat, because God prophesied to Lucifer that the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man, because the man is corrupted, his seed is corrupted. The seed of the woman, that means that God has to make another Adam like the first Adam. And that's why she was impregnated by God with the seed to create in Adam. Adam wasn't born out of the seed of man. He was the real stuff. Actually, it was the Holy Spirit that breathed into the mud, and the mud came, and the man became a speaking soul. So the Holy Spirit had to come and impregnate the seed of the woman in order to create the last Adam to rectify what the first Adam had done. That's what this whole thing is about, and people make it sound so wooey and off the chain. It's not. It's just God is systematically putting back and restoring what was messed up and what his creation lost. And God wants to make sure that his creation is not lost. So he picked the people, and the people are Israel. The whole world is going to come against Israel. In Turkey, they're going to dry up that area where that dam is, the straits, and then they're going to walk right through there to head to the Armageddon, that valley that they're going to fight against the children of Israel. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is going to show up when they're going to get to half. They're going to break through the walls. They're going to get to almost like halfway into the city and about to conquer. And Jesus comes. The Bible says that he will speak a word, and the flesh of man will melt. And now you got to picture this. It says that in that valley, in that war, that blood is going to be to the bridle of a horse. Now, think about that for a minute, that the earth has to be saturated with the amount of blood. And once the saturation takes place in the earth, then that blood begins to rise up, meaning the saturation means that the earth can't handle anymore. And then that blood begins to rise up, and it comes to the bridle of a horse. That is some mad stuff happening there, guys. So we are about to dance. So 2025 is the last Jubilees. Now, you subtract 7 years from that, because the Antichrist comes, and then there is a 7-year reign. You subtract 7 years from that, and you are in the year 2068, is when Jesus is supposed to come, and we, the body of Christ, would meet him in the air, and then we go and we are being judged on our assignment, because the Bible tells us that, that he's going to take whatever we've done and throw it in this fire, and the fire is going to separate the real stuff from the fake stuff, and based on that, we will receive our reward. So everyone has an assignment. That's why the Bible says, God, it says, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And what would faithful and living? What do you mean? Faithful in your assignment. So you guys have to find your assignment. So let's go back into this. I just wanted to drop that little nugget to you guys. And in the third week, the Jubilee's young clean demon began to lay astray the children of sons of Noah and to make them err and destroy them. Now you're watching. They're there. We're now looking at what that example of when he had said that this is their assignment. They're going to be doing all these things to us. So we are getting to see what it looks like to have destruction, to have all these things that was pronounced to us that they will be doing, as I read to you earlier in the chapter. And I read that because I wanted to show you guys exactly what it looks like, as we saw that that was given to them in chapter 15, when it says that, and the spirits of the giant oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, work destruction on the earth, and causes trouble. They take no food. So we're looking at what that looks like. And it tells us that these demons, okay, began to make men err and to destroy them. And the sons of Noah came to Noah their father and told him this concerning the demons which were leading them astray and blinding and slaying his sons' sons. And he prayed before the Lord his God and said, and begins to pray. We talked about that in the first episode, the first podcast. And so you see what it looks like, okay? And as these sons of the watchers began to infect man and destroy them. And we know that the chief of the spirits is Mastema, which is Lucifer. He comes and he's now going to have a conversation, and he says, hey, you can't take all of them. I need some of them. And I need some of them for those people, because there's so much corruption on this earth that I need some of these people to help me out. And God granted him his request. And that's why I say to you, God will grant our requests if we believe that he is God. The Bible tells us that the devil knows that there is God and they tremble. So the problem is you and I. Jesus says, have faith in God. These guys know when they stand before God. So when they ask in prayer, God usually gives them their prayer. The demons, evil spirit asked Jesus, and he gave them, he says, go into the pigs. So the problem is we have no faith in God. But the Bible says the devil believe in God and they trembled. So the devil, isn't that, believe in God and they tremble? You and I don't believe in God. Because if we believe, the Bible says we can say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and it'll be gone. So, and he said, let the tenth part of them remain with me, and let a ninth part be descended into the place of condemnation. And God granted his word and give him his authority over that. But God said that this thing, okay, that what happened, that they were not given permission, okay, to hurt Noah's son, okay? They were precluded from hurting the sons of Noah. Now, this piece I wanted to just elaborate a little. You and I are all descendants from Noah at this point in time, because you remember everything was destroyed and so forth, but Noah is still a descendant of Adam. But we see that they were not able to touch the sons of Noah, but all of those of the wicked one, based on their lifestyle, they had freedom to touch. And so we're looking at men and women today based on their lifestyle. See, when someone gets saved, they were living a certain life before, and I've seen this in church. And then they get saved, right? But becoming saved, still have a demon in you. You're able to, your chambers within you. You have a revelation about Jesus. You make your confession. But based on their lifestyle before they got saved, they have demons occupying them. And they will come into a service, and where the anointing is, that demon is uncomfortable and begins to act a little out of place. And then everyone recognizes who it is. And that pastor will be able to pray and take authority and cast it out. Jesus said, some of them don't come out unless you fast and pray. Those are difficult ones because they're more than one. And so when they're more than one, Jesus turns around and says, who are you? And he says, I am legion. And then he's like, okay, out. He knows what to deal with. But his disciples couldn't do anything. But Jesus says, this kind. And what kind is that? Those are the ones that are coming to folks and cause them to be paraplegic and be different things. This kind, specific, this kind can only be cast out through fasting and praying. And so they're here to destroy you and I, period. And you will see them coming into men, coming into women. We know that they are capable of doing the same to animals because we know that in the Bible we saw them running into the pigs, went into the pigs, but the pigs probably had enough sense to go kill themselves and ran and jump over a cliff because they're like, nah, I don't want to deal with this. But we see that men and women, because of how they live, the decisions that they make, these evil spirits see that this is a marker that they are one of theirs. They're one of the evil generation. And based on that information, they will then come in and possess them, take ownership of them. And when they are being addressed, we see that they're strong, they're all of these things. Why? Because those guys were strong. They were big monsters. And it takes a bunch of people to hold them down, and you'll hear them squeaking and making all kinds of noise and all these different things. And so these spirits are here to cause destruction on you and I, period. Nothing else. So now let's take a look at the legend of the Jews, and then we'll close here, concerning the same type of thing about Noah's son. No sooner had the children of Noah and their children's children taken possession of their habitation, a portion to them. So this is after he had split up the earth and gave the brothers ownership in different areas. And they began to split and do different things. This is when the unclean spirits began to take advantage of all of that. It says, a portion to them, the unclean spirits began to seduce men and torment them. How? With pain and all sorts of suffering leading to one spiritual death and physical death. Upon the entities of Noah, the entries of Noah, God sent down the angel Raphael, who banished 9/10 of the unclean spirits from the earth, leaving but 1/10 for Masaman. Punish sinners through them. They are not allowed to touch those that are of God's children, God's descendants. And we become the sons of God by becoming born again. When they come to us, now when we are with God and we turn our back against God, we are now going back into the old ways, and they can take advantage of that and cause us to be painful because we have turned our back on God based on our lifestyle. But they are causing sufferings of all sorts, pain, torment, seduction, everything, money and all that stuff, women, all of it. It doesn't matter, seduction and anything that is contrary to God. That's what they're coming for. They're going to suffer, they'll give you pain and suffer, give you suffering of all sorts to cause two types of death, spiritual death and physical death. Upon the entreatment of Noah, God sent angel Raphael after his prayer, and Raphael took them. And only sinners and Raphael supported by the chief of the unclean spirits at that time revealed to Noah all of the remedies residing in plants. And we're going to continue, talk about that in another upcoming podcast. But that is, again, we're looking at sicknesses, diseases, and demons and so forth. But there is a book that has been written on this planet that has the cure for every single disease known to man. And we're going to look at that and see that knowledge as it begins to disperse amongst different nations from that book. Because different nations grabbed onto different aspects of it and they began to move through in that knowledge, in that way of thinking and behaving. And so we're going to continue our study later dealing with that when we pick up again the sickness and disease. And so I want to thank you guys, man, for coming along with me on this ride. I know many of you had asked me to go in a little, and I just wanted to recap and add some additional flavor to it so you could see the purpose of them, their assignment, and see what they're here for and why they're here. But the Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are those strongholds? Those strongholds, the Bible tells us, are in our mind. And we talked about that, that mind field that the Bible says that God looked down, and that in verses 5 of Genesis 6, and it says that, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination, okay? The imaginations come after. It says every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. So when we begin to, Jesus said, even if we lust, if we think about this woman, if we see and lust after her, that imagination is kicked in because we are seeing ourselves sleeping with that woman. We're seeing ourselves doing everything that we need to do to make it happen. Jesus said, yet we haven't touched the woman. And Jesus said, yeah, but you've already touched her. You've touched her in your imagination. You've already sinned. You're now going to implement the plan because you did that from your heart. Your heart is who you are. So that thought field has strongholds. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that the Word of God is able to pull down every stronghold that has been built up there through years of being in the kingdom of darkness. And as we learn to take every thought, the scripture says, into captivity, okay? As we begin to take every thought into captivity, how do we capture every thought? We don't give it permission to grow. We capture it. We prevent it from growing. When it comes, we are now renewing our mind. We're interjecting the Word of God when those evil thoughts come, and we're repopulating that field with good thoughts so that you and I will always think good thoughts, because the scripture says, think on these things, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever, and gives us a list of things that we ought to be thinking about. Because when we think about them, it activates one's imagination about them. So the enemy can only come in your thoughts, and he comes by questioning. And he said to Eve, did God really said that? You think so? Jesus, at his testing, he says, did God really said that? And Jesus looked at him and said, boy, get away. So he always comes with a question to, because he knows that you have some stuff stored in your heart, those evil thoughts. And what he's trying to do is activate your imagination. If you activate your imagination, you're going to do what you just imagined. And so the Bible says, Jesus said to his disciples, take no thoughts saying, do not agree with it. And so I've taught many things about that before. I suggest that you guys, many of you are new here, I suggest you go on and listen to those things, because everything God shows me, I put out there. I don't bring stuff that just to bring it. I'd sometimes be sleeping and God will get up wake me up and give me something to go and bring. All of those stuff is like that. And so you guys ought to look at that. I did a study on the man in a morning rant for months about who the makeup of the man is and so forth. And so you guys need to get it and see what how we are made up and how the enemy comes to us and so forth. So I want to thank you guys again. And many of you new subscribers, thank you so much for joining us here at this you know, Blueprint of Faith is My Heart. It's a phrase that God gave me. It was a book, The Blueprint of Faith. And so my assignment is to teach his body about faith, but also teach them who they are and who the enemies are so that we can utilize our faith. Now, faith is the law that we use to say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Faith is the law by which, because the Lucifer and the angels believe in God, that when they say something, they know it will come to pass because they believe it. Jesus said, have faith in God. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed, because he's saying, if you utilize the law of faith, okay? But you gotta believe in God first. If you believe in God and you utilize the law of faith, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and the law of faith is going to cause that mountain to be removed. Why? Because it was the law of faith that made the earth and made the universe, all of them. The law of faith made Lucifer. Bible says that they were created by a word, the angels. So the law of faith is what we use to get things done. The woman with the issue of blood used the law of faith to get her healing. These are the topics and stuff that we're doing, we're studying. I came off of that and came into this thing about sickness and disease and demons, because I wanted to show you guys the backdrop of all of that. But the premier law by which we operate in the kingdom of God is the law of faith. But the scripture says this is wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. This is how God intended it all to work, from faith to faith. And he would come to Adam in the cool of the day to talk to him, to tell him who he was and that he was the God of this earth. And the enemy came in and interrupted that relationship. And he does the same with ours. But God kept the appointment. And I want to welcome all you guys that came. And God has kept the appointment. He is waiting for you. He said, where are you? And that question is to all of mankind. Where are you? And I suggest that you go to him and keep the appointment and learn who you are through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But this time on our earth is limited. The Bible tells us that the book of Jubilees tells us that this is the last Jubilee, the last cluster of the last 50 years. And then after this, the millennium age is kicked into existence. And that it will go for 1,000 years, and that Jesus is going to reign on there, and his people are going to reign on there. So this age that we are called in right now, the age of grace, ends in 2075. Subtract 7 from there. 2068 is when Jesus is going to come, and the body of Christ will be moved away from this, and then the Antichrist will be revealed. I don't know if we're going to know him before we leave or if he's going to be after for those, but he will be revealed around that time. And then there's a new ball game. He's here for 7 years. Within the first 3.5 years, he brings peace to Israel, and all the stories that we're seeing in the TV will come to an end. The man who does that, guys, is the Antichrist. He's going to bring peace, and then in the middle of the peace, he's going to break it, and he is going to walk into the temple and declare that he is God, and every single man and woman on this earth has to worship him, and then all hell breaks loose on this planet. The Bible says even worse than what man has ever known on the planet, and that is something to tell, because we've had Nephilims on this planet, we've had all kinds of creatures on this planet, and the Bible tells us that it's going to be worse than that. So I want to invite all of you guys who don't know Jesus Christ to get saved, man, and buckle up and see what happens. So thank you so much for coming to this beautiful place here, and join with us. continue to share, and so that we can grow the channel and bring a lot of those Christians that have turned their back on God, bring them in so that we can have a discussion. Let's talk, man. Let's talk, let's share. I don't want, you know, I know people have all kinds of stuff, and I have people write me telling me it's a hoax and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, we will find out. That's what I would say to them all. But I'm not here to, push you to get saved. I'm here to have a conversation with you. You listen, and we can talk as people. And then we make a decision based on that conversation. And then everyone is happy based on their decision, not mine. I'm not forcing you here. I'm just welcoming you here. And I just want to thank you again. Thank you for those that are supporting me financially for whatever you guys give me. It really is an honor, and I thank you so much. You have no idea. And I pray for you guys all day long, but thank you. And I pray that God will meet you where you are. And as you answer that call, that he will show himself mightily in your life. So I want to thank you for coming to Blueprint of Faith. And we're going to continue our teaching, our study on sicknesses, disease, and demons and evil spirit next week. Thank you so much.